Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
I think plus minus kind of tell you a lot.
Murray steps back. Bang! 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 Exclamation point!
The plus minus statistic.
It's a stat that tells the truth.
Are you a believer in that statistic?
You tell me. I know it's good to be a plus.
It's Warriors plus minus.
Plus minus, plus minus.
Hello and welcome to a playoff series preview edition of the Warriors plus minus podcast. Tim Kawakami is with me. Marcus Thompson, I believe, will show up. You know, maybe
anytime now. Anytime.
Maybe he's not in the game one rotation. Maybe he's in the game two. This is their first playoff series since that Warriors Lakers six gamer in 2023. And my son just turned 2 years old, and that was right prior to his or right after his birth. So about 2 years ago. Easy math there, I guess.
But Slater, we always remember that. We remember that and remember you coming up big. I think you came back for the Sac series, right? You came back for the Kings.
You know what? I don't know. I don't think my wife is a listener to this podcast, but I do not want to discuss this just in case. I don't want to discuss that choice by me. I don't want to discuss it.
She doesn't listen. She doesn't listen. She doesn't
listen. That was for Kings Warriors, first round series.
Come on. Seven game series.
Jeez. That was one of that King series. Like, I know it was first round. I know they didn't go on to win the title. I know, it didn't have the stakes of the Houston, the Oklahoma Cities, the Cleveland Wars. That was a really fun series. And even the Lakers second round series had a lot to it.
Steph going off and all these other guys. Interesting. It's some of the same guys are going into this series. But you know what? I'm reminded for this series, we are talking. This is our playoff preview. Warriors Rockets first round and starts Sunday in Houston. Kind of reminds me of Memphis in 2022. Dylan Brooks being obviously the same player who did a very notable thing in game one of that series. Game two. Warriors won game one.
Taylor Jenkins, it came out with this. Memphis came out with this game two idea of up the physicality.
And they did that.
And Dylan Brooks, that was early in game two, broke
the code and broke Gary Payton's second elbow.
And Gary Payton shockingly came back from that and was in the rotation for the NBA Finals.
Yes, I saw him he couldn't dribble the ball in practice, and then he's playing, which is amazing. The Warriors are even older than they were then, 3 years later from 2022. But they are definitely the older, kind of wizened team that's been through this. They're going to start on the road. The young teams had a really good season. Number two seed, Memphis was the three back then. Just kind of
Memphis
the young team. Memphis was a two, so there we go. Yeah, same thing.
Because the Kings were the three. No, wait, hold on. I'm going to 22. The Warriors were the three.
Warriors were the three. So this second round, okay, there we go.
Second round, Memphis was the two.
Yeah, and Slater didn't even have a baby yet. Then this is like the young team had a great year, kind of broken through, got a lot of young talent, and the old Warriors, can the old Warriors do it? Start on the road. And I think it kind of fits the Warriors. Like, you know, like you can go steal one on the road, kind of take control of the series, which would happen in the Memphis series. You know, I don't think it's going to be a quick series either way, but this pressure's on the young team, pressure's on Houston. Can you get settled? Can you get organized? We know how athletic they are. We know how good they looked at Shea Center like 11 days ago, beat the Warriors by 10. Steph Curry, horrible shooting night. Jimmy Butler, you know, whatever. You know, they looked slower and older than Houston, but slow and older sometimes wins the playoffs. And we did see that in that 2022 series against Memphis, which had all these guys. I'm just feeling it. Udoka is kind of a better version of Taylor Jenkins.
Udoka is significantly more of like a force than Taylor Jenkins. Jenkins, like, it felt like the spotlight was too bright.
Yeah, but he was stomped. I'm saying, you know, yes, Ime's a great coach. But,
like, you know what I don't think
on the sidelines and getting everybody up and all that stuff.
I don't think Draymond's going to come out on his podcast and be like, you know, calling Ime Udoka like janky Udoka or stuff like that. Like, I think there's a level of respect to what Ime's built there and how he goes about. Like, that's Draymond's kind of coach, you know what I mean? And they're probably going to yell at each other in game one or something.
Yes.
And I'm sure Draymond will attempt to make the point to the Rockets that, hey, your coach is fighting your battles for you type thing. But Ime Udoka is also like an excellent defensive coach. And like, I mean, look what he's done there. I put him, I think, second in coach of the year on my ballot. Like, they're the two easily.
Atkinson first is what you did? Or
Atkinson first, JB Bickerstaff third. I mean, there's a lot of good candidates this year. Mazzulla and Dagnall just don't get, you know, they're great coaches, but you just don't vote for them. Ty Lue could have been, easily in a coach of the year ballot. So anyway, back to the point, but I expect them to be physical, and I am very curious about the messaging from both sides in this, right? We know Ime Udoka is going to all be about, like, physicality, you know, bump them around. They're going to be whining at the referees. He's going to be in the referee's ear the whole game. At Steve Kerr, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if pregame, game one, he's already talking
absolutely about how
much they watch film and Amen Thompson is holding Steph Curry off the ball. Like, it's going to be one of those type of
series. That might be tomorrow, Slater. That might come tomorrow from Steve Kerr, because we've heard some of it already. You know, they're grabbing Steph, they're grabbing his arm. I guess that's allowed now. The Warriors need Steph to be get some whistles. They do need that. I think they will get some. We'll see if it's in the key moments. They need Houston in the penalty. They need Houston in some foul trouble. They need to be shooting free throws. Like, this is when the Warriors have been good in the second half of this season, is when they've got the other team fouling, because they're now hitting their free throws. Now, they didn't, you know, Jimmy missed.
And they're,
how many free throws? Jimmy missed four free throws in the last
six.
Game.
He missed six. He was 12 of 18. After going 57 of 59 in the previous seven games. Yep. But, I mean, you know, how do you get people in the bonus and how do you exploit that? You have Jimmy Butler. They were one of the lowest free throw rate shooting teams and one of the worst free throw percentage teams prior to his arrival. And then they're now top five in both categories. He gets them to the line. He makes them typically. That's extremely helpful. And I assume he's going to try to set a tone in game one in that sense. And as we've seen, like, it is a different version of Jimmy Butler that has arrived to this stage. And I think Tim Kawakami is going to be tweeting out or Xing out, whatever you want to call it, the referee assignments, you know, morning of each game, because those will be important in this series.
I think you and I are both looking for one big one. When's the double Z coming up? Zach Zarba.
Probably I want to see the Scott Foster assignment.
Scott Foster, I mean, I think they're going to see them both. Haven't seen either one very much this season. I think they're going to see them both. I don't know when. Maybe you want one of them in game one, at least to try to make sure things don't get out of control. And, you know, there's other guys. There's other top guys. But those are the top two. And at least in terms of, like, trying to settle a game. And maybe, you know, critics would say trying to control a game. But I think road teams like those guys because they don't think they get intimidated by the home crowd, by the home coach, by the home players. And Like, I know if it's Scott Foster game one and I tweet it out, Warriors fans are going to go crazy because they go crazy over any name I tweet out as the officials for the playoff game for the Warriors. But coaches, the Warriors coaches specifically, do not mind seeing Scott Foster, especially for road games. So we'll see. We'll see how that's whistled. And can Jimmy do that against the Rockets? Like, they're a quick recovering team. I mean, they're not like playing Memphis. So, you know, they've got guys who can help off the ball, come flying at you. Şengün isn't a rim protector per se, but he's a big body. He can move a little bit, and they've got all those other guys. You know, and Amen Thompson, I've heard a lot, and it's right. He did a great job on Steph in that last game. But Van Vliet's the one who starts on Steph, and often is the one who finishes on Steph. And Van Vliet did a great job in 2019 finals. We can all remember that. There's so many ties, you know, between the Warriors and these guys in the playoffs, except for not the guys on Houston.
By the way,
guys on other teams.
Regardless of if it's Van Vliet that gets the starting nod or Thompson at important parts of the game, you know Dylan Brooks is standing up at film and I'm like, should I start on him? Maybe it should be me.
Yes. Can we watch he'll still find a way to foul him a couple times too, no matter who he's on. And you know, on the opposite, you know, there's a lot of penetrators, slashers on that team. I think the Warriors, I mean, they did outplay the Warriors that on that side too in the last game, but the Warriors don't mind that because they don't want the 3-point shots, right? The 3-point, well, they do protect the rim. Steve Kerr's always going to protect the rim, but what kills them is the collapse on the paint when somebody beats somebody off a penetration, kick it out, and somebody hit a three. But Houston doesn't have those guys, really. I mean, you kind of want Dylan Brooks shooting those shots. Van Vliet's pretty good at it, not great. Amen Thompson does not shoot those shots. You know, Tari Eason doesn't shoot those shots. Jabari Smith, I guess, but he's still pretty young. You know, I think they're going to want giving up threes to Houston is the thing you give up. And I think they'll take it. You know, at least they're not just wide open standing threes. They don't have those guys that would normally just destroy the Warriors from outside.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be a low-scoring series. You look at their last game, 106-96. I was in Houston. This is prior to the Butler trade, obviously, but it's that same Houston team. 91-90 was the cup game where Houston hadn't beat them. Remember, it was like the Rockets franchise had to beat the Warriors in X amount of games. Like, it was like 12 or 13. And they beat them 91-90 and, like, celebrated with full force. They went to Vegas and lost to the Thunder. I remember that. But this might be, I actually want to go look at all the game one over unders. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the lowest, you know, considered to be the lowest scoring series going in or projected to be. Let's look. 219. Oh, those are the play in games. Well, Mavericks, Grizzlies. 220 is the Pistons. 224 is Bucks Pacers. 224 Clippers Nuggets. Something got Warriors 214. Not the lowest. Magic. Celtics.
Magic anything. Yeah. Magic anybody, because you're just counting on the Magic to score 82 points.
But this is the second lowest game one over-under, which, you know, this is a defensive series, I think.
Well, here's what I think. The Warriors games that they win are going to be low scoring and tight, and the Warriors games they lose might be a little higher scoring and blowout. Houston wins. It just feels like that way. Remember, I go back to the Memphis series. Warriors are up 3-1, and what happened in game five, Slater, in Memphis? Warriors lose by about 3,000. And then you're thinking, oh, my God, are they shaky? Is this thing not going well? Klay Thompson even said after the game that they did not want to go back to Memphis for game seven, and the Warriors win game six. Kevon Looney, I think, was a monster in that game. You know, I just feel like they're going to – the games they lose, they might get blown out, specifically in Houston. The games they win are going to be like 2-point, 3-point wins where they make a couple quick bucks. I don't see the Warriors blowing out the Rockets.
Well, this is going to be, I think, a 6- or 7-game series. I really don't know which way it's going to go. But the Warriors better execute down the stretch. You know, they've had trouble with that. We know. We've seen some of the mistakes, obviously, like the Spurs game recently. That Rockets game I mentioned that was 91-90, it was this tornado of events down the stretch when they blew the game to the Rockets, including, remember, they didn't get a loose ball scramble foul, and then Kuminga kind of tried to wrap somebody up for a jump ball, and they called this foul that shocked everyone, and it gave the Rockets two free throws with like 2 seconds left to win it. And if Steve Kerr just, you know, blew a gasket about the officials postgame, that was top three most upset he's been postgame. But again, you know, it was kind of a questionable officiating call on that, but they had a bunch of screw ups down the stretch of that game. And I think that will define this series as tight as I think it's going to be. Like, it might come down to who does or doesn't make the crucial mistake, you know, in the game that is, you know, the 1 point game either way.
Yep. And you know what they've already been saying. Butler said it off the top after the last game when they qualify for this round, turnovers. And against Houston, that's the biggest thing in the world, because a turnover is a dunk on the other side. I mean, it's automatic. I mean, Thompson, you turn the ball over live to Houston, they get it to their guys, and they're 20, running the floor. On the
20 last yeah, time. Yeah.
20
four from Draymond, four from Steph, four from Pajemski in that game. Butler didn't shoot much, 4 of 7 shooting in that game. They only scored 96 points. They only scored 20 in the fourth. You mentioned it. That's huge.
You just can't. It gets them going. They don't have to run their half court, which is not their strength, the half court offense. You're getting tired. You're running backwards. It's demoralizing. They cannot do that. You know, we always say that they really can't do it here. They still will try a couple crazy passes. We know they will. But with Butler, they've been better. Just, you know, Butler, of course, it's in my mind as I say this, that he doesn't commit turnovers. He committed a horrendous one in the Memphis game. But tends not to. Things are more under control. They just cannot feed the beast. And in Houston, especially in Houston, but even the games at Chase, you turn over 20 times, Warriors are going to lose most of the time. You turn over 14, 15, they're going to have a much better shots possession game. You know, you figure your half court offense is better than their half court offense. So the more shots you get in the half court versus their half court, you can defend them in the half court. Draymond and Butler should be able to, in many ways, cut down on the penetration. Should be. We shall see. GP2 will get a lot of time. And, you know, get a shell, try to make them hit threes that the guys are not great at threes. Have Dylan Brooks be a volume scorer and then beat them in your half court. You know, that's got to be the way they win these games.
Yeah, I think to me, one of the biggest matchups, maybe the biggest, like more traditional one-on-one style matchup in this series to me is going to be Sengun against Draymond. Mm-hmm. And Houston's going to try to get Draymond off of him. And we'll succeed at times. I can even remember when Draymond's like lighting into Sengun and like, you know, getting that technical that he got. The next play, Sengun gets an and-one, and that's because they screened him off and I think got Pajemski on him, and he got an and-one layup. But, you know, Draymond, he said it at the podium, he's like, I'm giving up 6 inches and 50 pounds. So he's going to be fierce towards Sengun. I think he's going to try to make statements early. But, you know, you hear some stuff about Sengun's toughness and, like, he's not some pushover, you know, type younger center. He's I think what he does in this series is either, you know, I think he has a chance, if you were going to pick the Rockets side, to show the world, like, you know, the type of player he is. He's fringe all-star, you know, fringe all-NBA. Some people had him third team all-NBA in that, you know, Rockets win, you know, in Chase Center. I think he had like 19 and 14 in that game. Like, he was good. Those were big buckets, right? You can remember, like, sure. You know, he settles them down. And this Warrior seems vulnerable to centers. We saw what Zubac did to them. Sengun's different. But I think, look, if Draymond just like is just overwhelms in that matchup defensively, I think Houston doesn't really have much of a shot offensively to stay with the Warriors. But it's not going to be like, he's not Jokic, but he's really, really good. And I think the world will probably, you know, see a little bit of what he is.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean. Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Zach Edey hurt the Warriors. I mean, centers are hurting them. I mean, obviously, the small lineup, they are playing Quentin Post and Looney, you know, some minutes. But we know in the biggest moments, it's going to be Draymond at center. It's going to be Jimmy Butler at the four. They're going to be small. They're tough, but they're going to be small. The other guys have to fight for rebounds. They have to get in there. We know Pajemski does. Curry led them in rebounding in the last game. You know, they know that is going to be super important against this team.
Houston played a lot of double big late in the regular season. It was really good with it. They had like some historic rebound rate. It was at Steven Adams and Sengun. They kind of avoided that in that Warriors game. I think they're a little bit spooked to play that against the Warriors. Yeah. But, man, that would be quite a chess. That could be something Houston, if they go down and feel like they need to change something up, that could be –
And that's one of the weirdnesses or awkwardnesses of the Warriors lineup is you can put one of those guys on Moody. You can, and they have kind of done that and dare Moody to try to dribble around him and shoot. You know, that gets me to my other theme, which I've been kind of saying on this podcast for a little while. We know, I think you can count on Steph having a pretty good game, might have a great game. Butler's going to have a pretty good game, might have a great game. Draymond on defense is going to have a really good game. You just count on that. This whole thing's riding on that. I don't want to say that's not important. Those are huge things. Any one of those guys in their own way could win the game. I think this series is going to turn on Moody and Pajemski shooting the ball, being confident with the ball, and being tough. I just think that's the it for the Warriors. Now, there's other factors. Jabari Smith for the Rockets. Like, there's many other things that we could put in there. But for the Warriors, this thing ebbs and flows on those guys. And, you know, they did not get a shot down the stretch. They did not take one or make one in the final minutes of the Memphis game. I thought they would. They just won because Steph hits two remarkable threes and scores the last 10. I don't know how many times that's going to happen in this series or in the playoffs. You're just playing better defenses that are so set up to try to limit Steph. Steph's going to still get his points. But this ain't the Sacramento Kings in game 7. Like, this is a little different. I don't think Steph's going for 50. If he does, that would be incredible. But I think Pajemski and Moody and Hield and Payton to a lesser extent are going to get shots. Quentin Post in there too.
Actually had a really good game against the Rockets in that game they lost. He had 6 of 11 from 3 in 25 minutes. Moses Moody only played 14 minutes in that game.
Yep. Yeah, he did not play.
Looney played 22. We'll see.
Well, there's another name that we haven't mentioned yet, and Jonathan Kuminga. I don't think Kerr has a great plan, many plans to play him, even this series. He has had good games against the Rockets. It was +9 in like 16 minutes in that loss just a while ago.
Yeah, 33 points, 23 points, 20 points. Obviously, different environments. Two of those games were no Steph, where he was like almost like your primary scorer. I can remember an overtime game where he hit three huge shots to lead him to what was at the time a really big overtime road win. But, I mean, you mentioned it's the games he scored 33, 23, 20, he was a featured offensive player. He's not on this team.
There's no Steph Curry and there's no Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy Butler changes the dynamic. And we've seen the Butler Kuminga minutes have not been good. Not been a ton of them, but not been good. Kuminga Curry minutes are okay, but you've moved away from that. And Butler's going to play 38 minutes anyway. And Kuminga basically plays that position. There will be times if the Warriors are down 0-2 or, you know, down 3-1 or whatever it is, down 0-1 and down 15 in the game two, I can see Kuminga getting minutes. Might even get some in game one. He does have the athleticism, but Steve Kerr's just not. It has kind of moved on from him in his head. Doesn't mean he can't make an adjustment. Might mean things can't change. But, you know, that – I don't put him in the guy who's on the line to perform. If he's in there, yes, but I don't know that he's going to play much.
Yeah, it's sure. Moody, wild card. Moody, he could change the series, but I agree with you. As you're scripting out what you expect to look at early in the series, like I don't think it's.
And he's not set up to succeed either. You know, DMP the last two games were big games. You're going to throw him in the middle of, you know, Toyota Center down 11, go score his 6 points. It might be two turnovers because, you know, he might do that anyway. He's not set up to succeed. We'll see. He could do it. I just think it's Moody. I think it's Pajemski. I think it's Hield. I think it's GP2. And I think it's Post. Those four guys. I think this might be a Post series. Like, they're going to be collapsing all over the place. They're going to be rotating. They're going to leave him alone. Shingun's going to stay in the middle. Can Post hit a couple shots?
Post played 7 minutes in the last game against him. He actually gave Looney 22. And that is going to be a balance with Steve. It's like how much. Looney's his old reliable, like stabilized the game. Oh, Steven Adams is on the court. He's getting 2016 flashbacks. He just needs to get with the game. But Post, it could be a tricky defensive series. Although I will say, like, I would worry about Post much more in series against star scorers, and I'm talking real star scorers, right? You know, like
Luca, you know, yeah,
exactly. Shea's the one. They started him, and I know it was very early in his tenure, but they started him against the Thunder in a game, and the Thunder put Jalen Williams on him, and Jalen Williams like stripped him twice, and then Shea had 21 first quarter points, and it was just drop coverage, drag him into the action, Shea gets a pull-up jumper. So those are the guys that, like, I would fear for Quentin Post's survival in these playoffs against. Jalen Green, like, I think if the Rockets want to just, like, give the ball to Jalen Green and have him super high usage and, like, making him attack Post, like, I don't think they're that concerned about that.
No. Because Jalen Green isn't, you know, a three-point. I mean, he can shoot the three. That's not his thing. His thing is to get in the lane. And Draymond and Jimmy Butler are going to be in the lane. They love it when Jalen Green comes at them. We've seen it time and again that they just take the ball away from him or at least are able to get in his way. They know where he's going. They're very good against guys like that. They're not good at guys that can't see where they're going. The ball pops around, and then it's a three. And, you know, that's a lot of good teams. I don't know if that's Houston. You know, Houston can beat them in other ways. I don't think they're going to beat them like that. Just pass, 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 rotate. Oops, blown rotation. There's a three. We've seen the Warriors give that up a lot. I don't know that Houston has that. They do it in a different way. They got their own, you know, secondary players, like I said. But I do think because there's so much attention on Steph, more than any player in the league, and deservedly so, because he can kill you in so many angles, so many spaces, so many ways. These guys, Pajemski and Moody, for sure, those two are going to get open shots. We've seen it throughout the season. Gary Payton will not be guarded, and he will only play the Steph minutes. Can he hit a shot or two? Can he do something if he's not hitting a shot? Instead of, you know, I'm sorry, you've seen GP2 get the pass in the middle of the key wide open and not even look at the basket because he's just not going to shoot that ball. That can't happen very much against Houston. If it does, it's really problematic. So can they figure that out? Can they figure out, you know, They're a pretty smart coaching staff. That's what I always remember and always will always carry through me. This Warriors coaching staff, been some changes, but there's still a lot of the same guys, and there's still some extra new smart guys in there. They're pretty good at thinking through series. They're pretty good at, like, this is what happened in game one and game two. Let's figure out how to change it in game three. Now, again, there's
– it's also where, you know, we talk about the IQ and the feel and the smarts of Draymond and Steph and Jimmy Butler helping on the court. It also helps on off days, you know. Yeah. Like, Draymond Green is scheming with this coaching staff. Jimmy Butler will be scheming with this coaching staff. And they're almost, you know, you would consider them high-level assistant coaches, like, during these off days. So
yeah, no question. No question. That, and, you know, I don't know if they were officially going to, you know, supposed to practice today. That was kind of the talk that they would
take. It was install day. So yeah. So what they did, they took Wednesday off, and then today they didn't meet up until, like, 3 or 4 p.m. And it isn't like a practice. It's nothing on the body, but it is like, it is a really long film session. And they call it the install, where they install the entire game plan. It's almost like classroom style script rotation. I'm sure they went player by player, right? Sangoon, these are his tendencies. This is what we're going to do with them. Like, you know, Jalen Green, we're icing this. We're, you know, that would probably be one of the more fascinating days to sit down and actually, you know, like get a camera in there. Like that would be the type of stuff that would be great for Court of Gold type documentaries.
Yeah, Steve Kerr didn't let it in for Court of Gold. He ain't letting in for this. I'll tell you that. He really does not like that. But most teams, and the Warriors have done this, they usually do that before a practice and just put it right in. But it's interesting they're choosing. I think they wanted them off their feet for 2 days too. And I get that. This is an older team. We always have to remember
that. Three best players are 35, 35, 37.
Yeah, like, they had to play an extra game. Now they didn't want to, you know, lose one of these four off days where, you know, they don't feel fresh, because they know they don't want to just be fresh for game one. They want to be game through all this series and then the next series and then possibly the next series. So there's going to be a great attention to that. Also means for us later, it's going to be quick practice tomorrow. I think that's like, instead of waiting the extra hour, because that's when these practices get long, because they do an hour-long film session first, and then they practice, and then just backs it up to like 3. I do not think that's going to happen today. It's an earlier practice too, which is interesting. They moved it up till 10. Well, told us to be there at 10:15. It's probably about when it's going to start. Maybe 10:15 to 11:15. This is interesting. I don't quite know what all that is. Maybe it's the sleep stuff that they study so much. But they are an older team. There's going to be different protocol for these playoffs. More even than 2022, when they were not a young team, they will not practice, you know, if they possibly can. If they can avoid a practice, they're not going to put these guys on their feet. Young guys, you know, get work in, whatever. But I was tired yesterday. And I didn't even play, and I haven't been traveling.
I was yesterday, but I was also in Golden 1 Center until like 2 a.m. last night. It was two straight, just long nights at the arena. This is the play-in capital of the NBA, like this corridor, this I-80 corridor. That's where the play-in lives.
The Anthony Slater Memorial Play-In Corridor is what we call this. This is like
Super Bowl week.
And then the Kings fire their general manager like every other year anyway, so you've got to cover that thing. This is going to be – I think I said it last time. I definitely believe this is going to be the Warriors have their best – kind of rest, right? They had the 4 days off. They're going to have a game one, and then they're going to have 2 more days off. And then they're going to have game two, and they're going to have 2 more days off, and they're going to have game three. Like, the first round is long. They built these days in because there's so many games to put on TV. They want them all on TV, so they spread them out. They want to get 2 weekends, 3 weekends essentially out of this. If the Warriors go, this thing goes to game seven, it will be 3 weekends. So,
This set up well enough for them that if they lose to the Rockets, they just lost to the Rockets. It's not going to be like, oh, the fatigue, the age factor, the accumulation. Like, no, you got 4 days off and a lot of prep time. You mentioned the 2 days off between one and two. This is as spread out a series as you can get. And they're relatively fresh. Steph's thumb injury is what it is, but 4 days would do wonders for that. He's dealt with the sprained thumb all year, and he had monster three-point shooting season. I talked to Butler post game after, you know, he was awesome, obviously scoring 38 points. I was like, how's the thigh? He's like, oh, it's fine. Like, it wasn't, it's not like he had to manage it. It sounded like it wasn't even really that much of a thing in the day leading up to it. So, like, that seems like an absolute non-concern for him. entering the weekend. And then, you know, Draymond left with the neck thing, but we didn't really hear much about that. He looks like himself. Like, so they seem pretty fresh.
Yep, yep. And you never know. You know, bump or a bruise could come up there. They are older players, but I just said they're going into this strong. They're going into this. They did not have to play that extra play-in game, which would have been a death sentence, if you ask me. You know, they're set up to do this.
By the way, forget just a death sentence. What theater that would have been. That would have been a hot Klay Thompson coming in the Chase Center.
Feeling good. He would have stayed here in between, right? I'm sure Dallas
would have had a boat ride over. He would have IG live
ocean swim, maybe. Like, there could have been classic Klay moment. He was in a good mood. It was good to see Klay in a good mood after a playing game in Sacramento, Slater. I watched your video, and he was in a good mood.
He was in a really good mood.
What happened last year and that whole season of moody Klay, of pissed off Klay, it was good to see that smile. And you know what a crazy season the Mavericks had. So it was good to see a smiling Klay.
Yeah. He played 72 games this season. He shot 39% from three on a pretty high volume. He molded to the role that – and accepted the role that – I think would have been tougher for him to accept with the Warriors. I think that's part of the reason the move was made. Now he had the rug pulled out from under him, the Luka trade. But that's, we don't need to get into Klay's current and future at this point. But yes, he wasn't in a good mood. He was bouncing around the locker room, which, you know, as you know, is he also hit several threes and they won a big game. So he generally tends to be in a better mood after games. Yes. Like,
who was the guy who said he went 1-for-10 last year? He had to correct him.
Like, it was Tony Harvey from the Sacco Observer. He was like, yeah. You were here last year and went 1-of-10. He said, 0-of-10, sir. Heard about it all summer. Remember that stat line. I'm going to remember that one forever.
Oh, Klay. And then Klay's presser the next day or whatever. The next day after he went 0-for-10 and it was friggin' angry Klay. Oh my god.
Well, remember he had like a fat lip. He got really beat up in that game too. Yeah, so he came in just like looking you know. And then I asked right away about like the future, and he's like, you know, we can't just appreciate the present. He was very thorny. I mean, we don't need to rehash.
I've actually been talking. I'm doing something later, just kind of just all the mechanics and all the emotions that went into, you know, the last few years of how this roster changed. So I've been talking to people about Klay, and it's just good to talk about Klay. I miss talking about Klay. So this is why we're going down this road. We'll end it now, but it's always good. It's just having seen him like that, him smiling and talking about, you know, just coming back from the injuries and winning the championship, but then things got really tricky there for, you know, minutes and for who's coming up behind him and what the contract was going to be. So anyway, that's enough on Klay, but good. Always good. We can always talk Klay on Warriors Plus Minus. It's never disallowed.
He is a franchise legend. That's for sure. Okay. You good? Anything else on this series?
Yeah. I mean, I think I'll make my prediction in my column tomorrow, but I'm leaning hard to Warriors in six. I don't know that they can win a game. We know they can win a game 7 in Houston. We've seen that before. Maybe not this edition, but I think they got the best two players in the series. So it's hard for me to go. You know, you always say best player in a series. Well, it's clearly Steph. I think they got the best two. Now, Houston's got a ton, like between 4 and 11 in this series, and that means a lot many times. But man, giving up the first and second best player in the two guys who are closers, two guys who get fouls, who make foul shots, and then you add Draymond. Unless the secondary guys are complete busts the whole series, I just think Steph and Butler can get two wins. Let's just say two wins each. Can they get two wins each? I think they can. Get him to game six. If it's goes to game seven, it'll be really interesting. But I'm gonna go Warriors in six, and they move on to second round. How about you, Slayer?
Yeah, I think I picked it in our little like preview as Warriors in seven, kind of cop out. I have no clue. I think it's going the distance. I'm preparing to make three trips to Houston. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, like, pedigree and current moment, Steph and Jimmy Butler are the two best players in the series. But you know, you have to play like the two best players in the series. Yep. And I think, you know, Sengun is dangerous. That defense is dangerous. Amen Thompson might have kind of like somewhat of an explosive defensive moment here. And the Rockets the Rockets can grind out wins, 91-90, as I mentioned. Like, there's going to be a game like that in this series. I don't have a strong lean either way. I really don't. I think this is going to be extremely difficult for both sides. And
I'm a little surprised. I don't know if the odds have gone down, but last I saw, Warriors were 2-1 favorites.
Yeah, let me look right now. I agree. I was surprised, you know, and that's a little public money, Warriors, all that. But let's see. I think it started about what, minus 200. It's minus 170. So I think that is leveled back towards the range.
It should be an even series. Even, I mean, Houston having the home court should at least mean something and winning those games. But as I said, you know, I mean, the Warriors are a public team, but they also went 24-8 over their last 32, which is like a 62 win pace. So you might be looking at them as a 62 win kind of team. They might be. I don't think they really are, but they have won enough games.
I probably would pick this Warriors with like a firmer tone if I hadn't seen this version of the Rockets really give them trouble. And I know that was a tired, fatigued Warriors team. They had just had their toughest, most exhausting four nights of the season prior to that game. Steph Curry, I don't expect to have near as much trouble as, you know, that night he went 1-10. He's going to get off at some point within this series, but I do like watching that game. I'm judging the Warriors less than I'm judging what I saw from the Rockets, which was like a reminder of how impressive they are as a unit and as a defense and as kind of a young rising team. And like these, that type of length, like it will bother the Warriors, just like the Warriors speed and smarts and cutting and like, you know, it'll negate and exploit some of what Houston can and can't do. And I think Warriors can be able to guard them. But, I don't know. The West is going to be good all around besides whatever the 1-8 is, right? Lakers, Wolves, I think, is going 6 or 7. And Nuggets, Clippers, I think, is going 6 or 7.
Yeah, I think the odds of all of them should be less than 2-1. The Warriors might have been the biggest odds as the favorites of all those other than the Oklahoma City series. And that seems, well, I guess the Lakers would be pretty strong favorites.
Lakers are up at minus 210 right now. I'm looking. Yeah. That's a little surprising to me. Yeah. I think Minnesota's got a better shot than that. Clippers, Nuggets. Clippers are slight favorites. That one's a real kind of tight one.
Yep. But I mean, you know, and I would say, oh my God, maybe Houston just had a great game against the Warriors when the Warriors retired. Houston's been, that was not a one-off for Houston. Houston's been playing some great games. They beat the Thunder not too long ago. I mean, they just have dudes. And I respect that. I just have, you know, but, you know, you can't say every year's the same for the playoffs, but, you know, Celtics had dudes when the Warriors beat in 2022. Memphis had dudes in 2022. They kind of have a way of beating those guys. Doesn't mean they're guaranteed to it now, but I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go in six. I'm going to say they win one of the first two in Houston just because it's going to be a nervy Rockets team. Get them while they're just figuring out how they're going to play in the playoffs, give them a shock, take control of the series, take care of it at home. Now, I'm not 100% sure that they're going to win all their home games, but I'll lay it out that way. And then knowing that they don't want to go back to Houston for game 7, they take care of it in game 6. But I could be wrong. I'm not feeling 100% about that. And if the Warriors lose the first two games, we know that. Like, it's 80% chance you're going to lose a series just in the history of the NBA.
I think if the Jimmy Butler that showed up the last two games shows up consistently in Houston against Houston, that's big advantage Warriors.
Yes.
But that's a lot on him. You know, that's 40
a lot plus on him, and he might not do that every game, right? I mean, he'd probably do it several games, but can't do it every
game. Then the games he does do it, you get that one, right? Played out of his mind against the Clippers and they lost it. You know, that's the type of game that might swing a series. If you get a ferocious, high minute, high volume Jimmy Butler downhill game and you can't wrestle that one away from Houston, that's when, like, that might be the swing game of the series. So I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I think the Clippers are actually better than the Rockets just because of they got Kawhi, they got Harden. But so I'm just saying, if the Warriors play like that, Jimmy plays like that, they should win that game. If they play like that and they lose, forget about it. Because I think Clippers are better than the Warriors. Yeah. Not only better than the Rockets, they're better than the Warriors. If you play that game that we saw with that passion and their stars playing like that and Jimmy playing like that, and they lose, then they're just not going to win a series. But I think if they play like that, they will win, and they will, you know, get blown out in some other games, and they'll win others, and I think they're going to win in six. So there you go, on the record.
game one.
And I predict that Marcus will not make this podcast. How's that?
Marcus will be in the post game one rotation, I think.
We'll see. I don't know. We got to read the game and figure out how the flow is working for Marcus. But he's our star. We're doing it without him. We're trying to figure out how we can carry the low without our ace, but without our max player. But we scrambled it through here, Slater. We figure out how to do it.
All right, series preview. We will talk to y'all Sunday late night, 8:30 local tip in Houston, the 8th of 8 first round game one.
That might be like a 3 a.m. finish for all of us there, Slater. So get ready for it.